Okay.
Gentlemen, to a brand new Rock and Wrestling Podcast. Rock and Wrestling Podcast.podomatic.com is our website. The date is June 17th, 2015. My name is Tyler Black, and I'm joined, as always, by the world's sexiest killing machine, Big Nigger Jim, Sweet Jen Reaper.
What's happening all the way in Chicago? My homie Tyler. What's going on, man?
Oh, I'm in Chicago doing my thing. Just
doing
another week.
Taking over Chicago.
Yep.
We're like separated like the fucking click. Take over that section, I'll take over down here.
Yeah. You'll be Shawn Michaels and I'll be Kevin Nash. Nah, you could be Kevin Nash because Kansas City's more WCW and Chicago's more WWF because Chicago's awesome.
That's kind of insulting, but yeah.
Kansas City has ribs, and I guess the ribs would be cruiserweights.
So we got that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Bobby the Brain Heenan on commentary. So we win.
You guys got JR. Yeah.
How amazing would JR and Bobby the Brain Heenan had been at that time? I don't know. I was just thinking about this once you said that. JR and Bobby the Brain Heenan would have been so great during the Attitude Era when Bobby the Brain was at Nitro.
Well, they did. They did Mania 9 together, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, how great would it have been, like throughout the Attitude Era, instead of being JR and the King. Not that King was terrible back then, but I'm just saying, like, how great would it have been JR and Bobby the Brain? That would have been awesome.
Or Bobby the Brain and Kevin Kelly.
Ooh.
A combination no one has ever thought of.
I haven't. I don't know. That could be okay. But I think, I don't know. JR. I like JR more. Not that Kevin Kelly's bad or anything, but is this the most boring podcast opening we've ever done? I actually forgot we were recording.
Yeah.
Oh.
So our hero, yeah. Dusty Rhodes, is gone.
Yeah. Dude, I can't cry anymore.
Yeah.
I can't. Like,
I'm sure if you're a wrestling fan or you follow either of us on social media, you're aware that Dusty Rhodes is gone, and he was one of our heroes. And we talked about Dusty all the time and the Dusty impressions on this show all the time. So it's not like we're dick riding Dusty because he's gone like a lot of people do. We've been dick riding Dusty for a long time, since the beginning of the show.
Like the guy that you beat last night at Dusty Rhodes Trivia because you texted me that you want a Bullet Club shirt. Yep. Or no, this was Sunday. This was on Sunday, wasn't it?
On Sunday. I'm going to play the clip on the show. I already broke it down, so I'm going to insert it somewhere in the show. So if you want to hear it, Jim, you got to go back and you got to listen to the show after.
Because you were definitely like, it sounded like that the guy you were playing against was definitely trying to dick ride Dusty because he didn't know anything, it sounded like.
He kind of didn't know Dusty's real name, and he didn't know who his tag team partner was for Royal Rumble 91.
He's the fucking Virgil.
No, he said Virgin Reynolds. And then he said Virgin Reynolds.
So not only did this dude know nothing, he was also looking at fucking Google while he was on this thing and mispronounced Virgil Reynolds.
Well, he knew who Dusty beat for his first two world titles.
Yeah.
And what was it? You'll hear it, but it was a really close one. They'll just have one that he didn't know.
Yeah. Important thing is you came out victorious.
I came out victorious with a perfect score. Got 5 out of 5 right.
You're now the proud owner of a Bullet Club shirt, sir.
Yeah,
and I'm jealous.
My Bullet shirt should show up at some point in the near future.
And I've that's all awesome.
Sweeten everybody.
Mm-hmm. All through Chicago, even people that don't even know what fucking Bullet Club is, you're just like, too sweet me, too sweet me. Come on, school teacher.
Teacher bitch.
Teacher bitch. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Go one-on-one and get it done.
It makes me the best in the world.
Best in the world.
Best in the world.
Best in the world.
This is Live Audio Wrestling's Title Bout Trivia.
One shot, baby.
Right through the glass window of the barbershop.
Okay, it's Title Bout Trivia time, and that means two contestants are going to play. There are 10 questions up for grabs here, and you're playing for barbershopwindow.com t-shirt. Whole bunch of great t-shirts on there, so check out barbershopwindow.com. But one of them will be going to one of these two fine players that John Pollock has lined up.
Yes, we have John on line one from Toronto, and he'll be taking on Tyler from Chicago on line two.
All right. Hello, John.
How's it going?
Hello, Tyler.
What's going on?
All right, guys, here we go, back and forth. I'm pretty sure you figured out what the subject matter might be tonight. John, first question for you. What was Dusty Rhodes' real name?
Virgil Reynolds.
What?
Virgil Reynolds.
No, that's incorrect.
You said Virgin Reynolds?
No, Virgil Reynolds.
Okay, yes, that's correct.
Have mercy!
Please enunciate.
Yes.
Virgil Reynolds. I thought you said Virgin Reynolds the first time.
I think if we rewind that is what everyone heard.
Yeah. Okay, great. Tyler, according to his character, what did Dusty's father do for a living?
He was a plumber.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, John, back to you. Early in his career, Dusty was in a tag team called the Texas Outlaws in the AWA. Who was his partner?
Dick Murdoch.
You thank better you. Believe
thank you very
it.
Much.
That was very clear, John. Thank you. Tyler, over to you. Dusty Rhodes would get around losing a Loser Leaves Town match by putting on a mask and returning under what gimmick?
The Midnight Rider.
Yes.
You have that.
These are Dusty fans, Jay.
You got it. All right, John, back to you. Rhodes won the NWA Heavyweight Championship on three occasions. The first in 1979, then again in 1981. Who was his opponent both times?
Harley Race.
Yes.
Go on the internet and tell them all!
Tyler, his third and final time winning the title was at 1986 Great American Bash. Who did he defeat?
Ric Flair.
You bet he did.
You're welcome.
John, what was the name of Dusty Rhodes' female valet during his time in the WWF?
I think that was Sapphire.
You got it.
Believe!
Tyler, Rhodes and Sapphire would compete in a mixed tag match at WrestleMania 6. Who were their opponents?
Macho Man Randy Savage and Queen Sherry.
Oh!
Shucky, ducky, wacky.
John, whack. At the 1991 Royal Rumble, Dusty would also engage in a tag match versus Ted DiBiase and Virgil. Who was Dusty's partner?
Roddy Piper.
No, oh, sir!
Oh. What a lousy audience!
It was Dustin Rhodes, his debut. Tyler, you get this one, you win. It was thought to be Dusty's last match. In what was thought to be Dusty's last match, he competed in a bull rope match at the 2007 Great American Bash. Who did he face?
Randy Orton.
Yes! Tyler, perfect score.
That's awesome, yeah.
John, you played a great game. There was some debate over that first question anyway. unfortunately, you did come up short. 4 correct answers to Tyler's 5. Thank you for playing the game, John. Tyler, congratulations. You've got yourself a t-shirt from barbershopwindow.com, and you aced it, my man.
Being a Dusty fan paid off, finally.
You bet. There you go.
Oh, shit. So, but, yeah.
Other than that sadness, we had some wrestling happen this last couple days.
Had a lot of wrestling happen.
Yeah, you want to talk about some wrestling?
Let's talk about some wrestling.
There's been no Flash. There's no Arrow. So we gotta talk about wrestling, right?
We've been cornered now.
The heart of it. Did you watch Orange is the New Black Season 3 this weekend?
Tyler, I've never watched Orange is the New Black Season 1, so no, I didn't.
Jim, as a heterosexual man that loves lesbian action, I'm surprised you would not want to see Donna Pinciotti with fucking hipster glasses and jet black hair getting eaten out by a blonde chick.
Yeah, see, I've heard all these wonderful things like that. I don't know. Not that I'm not interested in watching it. I just haven't gotten around to it. So Flash, Arrow, all this other shit that I've been like trying to catch up on or watching.
Every season that's come out, I've watched in a day, and I have a job. So
that's all. Yeah, no,
a weekend and a lot of Kleenex, you can get through that show no time.
Or maybe just 5 minutes. I'll just watch the good parts. Fast forward to the good parts. Oh, man.
That whole show was
I've been meaning to get on that. Check out that show.
Well, getonit.com.
I just heard getonit.com/Steve. I do want to check it out. So,
spoilers, yeah. It's really good. So,
okay.
Mime and check that shit out.
Yeah.
And your wife might even enjoy it.
No, Brian won't check that shit out.
Why?
Because he's got something against fucking hour-long dramas and fucking good television, and I don't know.
It's not a drama. It's a dramedy. It's a black comedy.
You're not going to convince him, trust me.
There's titties.
Yeah, still won't do anything for him.
He doesn't like titties?
I don't know.
That dude from the Chiefs makes a cameo.
What? Wait, in Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
What? I don't even know. What dude from the Chiefs are you talking about?
That one guy that plays baseball for the Kansas City, not the Chiefs, the Royals. That one thing. Yeah, whatever it is that Myman likes.
That would be odd if there was just one baseball player in the middle of a football game.
The guy that plays baseball for the Chiefs.
Yeah, that guy.
I just showed all my sports knowledge right there, right on the table.
I don't know which guy from the Royals you're talking about.
There is no guy. I'm lying. I'm trying
you're
to make
just lying. Watch you're just making show. Things up as you go along.
Yes,
trying to sucker Brian.
I took the glasses off and everything, and physically closed my eye.
I thought you had something in your eye. That's what it looked like. It didn't look like signaling. It looked like you were just like, I'm in distress. There's something in my eye.
You are a motherfucker.
Well, you're bad at signaling.
And speaking of motherfuckering, let's talk about the Kevin Owens show that
might
call WWE. I'm going to call it KOE, Kevin Owens Entertainment.
Kevin Owens in the bank.
Yeah.
And also Dean Ambrose.
For the record, I would watch Kevin Owens just go to the bank. Escapades, Kevin Owens.
Like, just make transactions.
Yeah.
I was listening to him read the phone book.
Yeah, I want to make a deposit. Here you go.
Yeah.
Him filling out the slip, not even going to, like, the ATM to do the digital deposit they have now, actually standing in line and talking to a teller. Yeah.
Because there's always a chance, because now I've realized, after Monday night, I've realized there's always a chance he's going to fucking powerbomb somebody.
Somebody's going to get fucking powerbombed. And speaking of powerbombs, I have to say, there were too many power bombs on Money in the Bank that weren't done by Kevin Owens, namely by the heir apparent Roman Reigns. So speaking of which, let's talk about this ladder match. Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Sheamus, Neville, Kofi Kingston, Kane, and Dolph Ziggler all pining to get that ever so seeked out briefcase to get their guaranteed title shot whenever they want in a Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah.
The most tame Money in the Bank ladder match of all time.
It was the worst.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Oh my God, it was terrible.
I think the one I went to in Kansas City.
Isn't that the one that Kane cashed
in? The one that Kane won, I think, might have been equally bad because they didn't have any like big dives. I think Kofi.
Yeah.
The second one, Kofi did that dive off the ladder through the table. And Evan Bourne did like a shooting star off a ladder bridge. Mm-hmm. And so those were like the two cool spots. They didn't have either anything off the ladder for real. Like they had like one RKO off the ladder.
They had it set up with Kofi and Adrian Neville. I thought that's why they put him in there. Because mm-hmm. why else would they have just put those two guys in there unless they were dudes that could do awesome shit off of the fucking ladder?
Yeah, they did some outside dives, but nothing that you couldn't do in a regular six-man.
Yeah, yeah. It just, man, it just wasn't good. And then Sheamus won, and it's like, why?
But what I was talking about with the powerbomb, so there was a ladder bridge on the bottom rope in the corner, and Roman Reigns powerbombs Kofi into that and kills him. And then Kofi's laid out on it, and he powerbombs Neville onto Kofi. And it was a hope spot where Kofi gets powerbombed onto everybody on the outside. That's three powerbombs done by somebody that's not fucking Kevin Owens when they're going to do this big powerbomb angle at the end of his match. And I knew they were going to do that powerbomb angle at the end of the match. That's the only way that match could have ended.
Yeah.
Or could have... like Kevin Owens strong at the end of that match, but we'll get to that. I thought like if people are getting powerbombed and they're not dead, and we're supposed to like believe Kevin Owens is killing people with his powerbomb, stop letting
them
do regular powerbombs that don't kill other people.
Yeah, don't do it with Roman Reigns.
It's just
who never uses the powerbomb.
Yeah, he has his spear and his punch.
He's got his spear and the Superman punch. That's his thing. Let him have that. Okay, because fucking like it goes back to like they were talking about on the Steve Austin podcast not too long ago was that, you know, how many people use the DDT now and how it's just become so overused that it's like it's weird when somebody actually wins with that.
But in ECW where everybody did a million moves, two people did DDTs. Raven and Tommy Dreamer, and that was their finish.
Yeah.
So it was an over move, and the reason that they can both have it because they were rivals, so it made sense.
But they weren't doing a million and one variations on it, like
right. And no one else is doing DDTs either.
There's a lot of people that like. Well, there's like Dolph Ziggler.
No, I'm saying in ECW at that time.
Oh, in ECW,
no one else.
Yeah, at DDTs. The time, no one else did. Yeah,
no one in WWE is using a DDT as their finish.
Well, Raven did when he was there.
I'm saying at this very moment in
history. At this very moment.
Yeah, no one's using a DDT as their finish.
Are you're just talking classic head underneath the arm drop DDT because Dean Ambrose is using double arm DDT.
That is true.
I was like, yeah.
Okay.
So you got that one.
See, in my head, his finisher should be the headlock driver. But
I know, because it looks so much cooler.
Yeah.
It was like innovative and new, and he can hit it. He can hit it from anywhere, unlike the double arm DDT that he kind of has to set up. You know.
Yeah, and Ethan Carter III uses that move in TNA. So, and he used it first.
Still, fuck him.
Yeah. Ethan Carter is awesome, though.
Ethan Carter is awesome.
Yeah.
But,
goddamn. I like him better than his Andy Samberg gimmick he had in WWE when he had the fucking curly hair.
Why did anybody open their big fat mouth in WWE and say, hey, they're using that move in TNA? Why did anybody have to? If everybody would have shut their mouth, nobody would have known. Vince wouldn't have fucking known. He wouldn't have known any different. And I doubt Triple H is watching Impact, too.
I bet Triple H watches Impact more than Vince does.
Probably more than Vince does. Still not like... He's not, like, tuning in every week, I don't think. But I mean, once or twice in a month is way more than Vince probably watches it, because he probably don't watch it at all.
No, Vince doesn't watch anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure... I doubt that nigga even watches TV.
He wants to keep himself in this like contained fucking bubble that like is the WWE. This is the only thing that exists ever. We are inside of a time stasis.
That's why he only listens to Kid Rock and AC/DC.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I want that to be not true.
No, that is true. I've read Jericho's books.
Vince listens to Kid Rock.
No, actually, AC/DC is his favorite band. I don't know why. I think Kid Rock is Kevin Dunn's favorite band. But
that's weird.
Yeah. whenever there's like a party, there's like a AC/DC cover band that plays. So like the WrestleMania after party, they'll have that shit. But okay. Kid Rock gets to perform on WrestleMania and have his theme, have his song be the theme for WrestleMania long after 1998. So
yeah,
that tells you something.
Yeah, how in the hell does? I don't think I've ever. Why don't they get AC/DC to play at WrestleMania?
That shit costs money. I'm sure AC/DC costs way more than Kid Rock does.
Yeah, but I'm sure if it's Vince's, if it's truly Vince's favorite,
or
band,
maybe they don't want to.
Hey, maybe that's it. Maybe. I mean, they were really fucking like chummy and shit. The on the first SNL that The Rock hosted, AC/DC was the band.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, whenever they do like the end of the show where they're all the actors are standing around and shit, like he had fucking.
It could also be their management not wanting them to do it.
Man, I don't know. But yeah. Big Show had fucking Bon Scott up on his fucking shoulders. And yeah, so I don't know. Like, I'm sure they want to do it. It's probably something, probably money.
I think it's probably their management or the cost.
You would think their management. I mean. I'm pretty sure the average wrestling fan loves AC/DC.
Yeah, but
I'm average
wrestling still has its stigma and what people think wrestling fans are and how it's lowbrow or whatever. Who the fuck knows what?
And, but what's AC/DC's not highbrow?
But still, you know how white people are sometimes. They like to think that they're better than other white people.
Stupid. Yeah.
It's dumb.
It's dumb, yeah.
But that...
Because white kidding? People think that, oh, hey, we'll get a guy named Machine Gun Kelly to fucking play. He's popular, right? No. I don't think I've ever heard about that dude.
What about the last time he performed on WWE at WrestleMania? Was that the first time you've seen him?
I think that was, yeah, that was my smoke break for WrestleMania.
Okay.
So I did not watch it. Okay. Because... Also, there wasn't the fucking possibility of Kevin Owens at that point. So, you know, why would I watch it? And I didn't watch it last night. And I know we're not talking about Raw, but I'll go ahead. I just want to tell this story real quick. Is that I watched it last night, and it came up to that point, and I'm like, man, I don't want to fucking watch this guy. So I switched over to Netflix and just started, like, why? I think I flipped on Bob's Burgers just for something to watch for a little bit until it was over. I waited for a little bit. I turned it off. I went back to Raw. Just at the second that he had finished that powerbomb. So he's already standing there on the stage looking down on him. And I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And I fucking fast forward it.
And we'll stop there and we'll continue with this pay-per-view. So Sheamus wins the ladder match. And next up, Paige is backstage cutting a promo and says she's going to win for Dusty. So we got Nikki Bella versus Paige for the Divas title. They had a decent match. Probably one of the better Nikki Bella matches.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm crazy about Paige losing.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of dumb. Especially like if she was going to ditch, she was the only one in their promo that dedicated it to Dusty, dedicated their match to Dusty.
Mm-hmm. And so we got a Dusty finish because we had some twin magic after they had a double down on the outside. Both bitches fell off the turnbuckle, went to the floor.
Yeah.
A fucking arm from the abyss pulls Nikki under the ring and out comes Bree dressed like Nikki.
Yeah.
She goes to roll up Paige, and Paige reverses the roll up and gets the 1-2-3. She celebrates, and then Brie, this was like my highlight of the show, to be honest.
Because she's like,
no, I'm Brie. And she pulls down her pants to her vagina tattoo, and she starts pulling fucking stuffing out of her bra. I thought that was funny as shit. Like, I've never laughed that loud at wrestling in a long time.
Yeah,
I thought that was so fucking funny.
But also, it's like,
in the face.
Yeah, but also, like, she. They hardly ever do that, though, or if it's twins or whatever. Like, if they do some kind of switcheroo. I mean, Jesus Christ, they fucking let the New Day stay tag team champions after the fucking ref got confused at black people.
Yeah.
They weren't even twins. And he was just like, oh, there's a black body rolled up. I better count 1-2-3. And then not reverse the decision after it was over.
Because he didn't see, because they got the fuck out of it. This time, the person that did the twin switcheroo got pinned, and so... They have to reveal themselves as the not twin.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
But,
and so.
Yeah. You were right, though. It was one of the matches.
Yeah, Nikki hits her Mizawa roaring elbow and then hits the rack attack.
Her fucking, I wouldn't even call that a roaring elbow. That's like the girl, that's like the girl hammer.
And her Chrissy elbow. The pussy hammer. Man. The cow hammer.
Oh my god. Real quick, speaking of fucking bull hammers, did you see what the fuck Barrett was wearing on the pre-show?
I didn't watch the pre-show.
Holy fuck, man. It was terrible. And he was not wearing it Monday night. I can tell you that right now.
What was it?
It was like this fucking silver, what I can only describe as mini skirt. He was wearing this fucking, it was supposed to look like armor.
It's like a battle kind of shit.
Huh?
It's like a battle tunic.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But he wasn't wearing pants with it. So it looked like a mini skirt. And
I'm supposed to wear pants with a tunic.
At least some tights, some long tights is what I'm talking about. To make it look not like a dress, because it looked like a dress, dude. I'm telling you, like, go fucking look this shit up. It's this fucking silver tunic that looked like a mini skirt with a fucking red, with a new red cape and the fucking crown and everything. He looked ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. You gotta fucking look this shit up because it was terrible.
That means I'm gonna type in Bad News Barrett into my computer search engine. I'm just not really gonna take that risk, Jim. It's just not worth it. Well, because we gotta talk about this Ryback versus Big Show match.
Oh, do we have to?
Nope. DQ. Ran in. All right, yeah, so next up, we had John Cena versus Kevin Owens in the obvious match of the night because it's the Kevin Owens show, so of course it's going to be the best fucking match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was an awesome match.
Do you think this
match
is better than last month's or 2 weeks ago's match?
I don't know if it was better.
Okay.
It was awesome. It was still really good.
It was really good.
It was on par with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you had texted me towards the end, and I had been noticing this, too, when you sent this to me, was that they were doing, like, a lot of the same spots.
Yeah, a lot of, like, the high spots that match were, like, almost exactly the same.
Yeah, for the identical from the first match. Everything leading up to that, though, like, everything in the beginning of the match was fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, like, towards the end, that's when, like, you know, Kevin Owens does the fucking the switch moonsault and the
he did that spinning powerbomb when he had him in the like the doomsday device position and he spins him around and does a single powerbomb.
Yeah, that was dope as fuck.
Sweet. We're just gonna talk about that, cool moves we saw.
Fucking John Cena trying to do the code red.
Yeah.
And they almost fucked it up, but Kevin Owens saved the day, as he always does.
Of course.
The consummate professional.
Kevin Owens did the five moves of doom.
Yeah, Kevin Owens got to do the five moves of doom.
Yeah.
That was fucking cool. What else did he do?
He did Swanton onto the knees.
Yeah.
Which looked awesome. He kicked out of two attitude adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
But he was susceptible to a third one, which was his demise. But John Cena said that he's a real champion and he belongs to be here. Shook his hand and raised his hand. Like he did Sami Zayn, and then Kevin Owens kicked the shit out of him so hard he flew out of the ring.
Yeah.
And he powerbombed him onto the apron.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up both belts and laughed like fucking the clown.
Did he twist his ankle after he, like, landing?
Who,
after
Cena?
He got powerbombed? Yeah. Because he was, yeah, but when he was walking away, he was kayfabing the wrong injury. Because he was fucking hobbling like he just twisted his ankle.
Have you ever hurt your lower back?
I have, dude. You don't hobble like you fucking lean over.
I fucked up my back working at UPS, and every now and then when my back is fucking up, my leg hurts. I can't walk on like my left side.
Yeah, I mean that happened to me too, but I didn't keep one leg up and fucking like hop and shit. Like, that's what Cena was doing. That's an ankle injury. When you do that,
it's so much easier on your back if you don't, like, walk on both legs. I'm telling you, as a shoot.
What, like, every day, or?
No, if your back is hurting, walking like normal hurts.
Dude, I threw my back out. I know what I'm talking about. Like, you don't really limp, like you shuffle and you fucking like barely move your legs and shit. But as far as what John Cena was doing, like, he was fucking selling a wrong injury that night. It was like, dude, you should be like holding your back and lean like completely over while like the other guys are like trying to help you back. You know, limp. He was limping like he just got his fucking ankle broke. That's why I asked. That's why I
beat the shit.
That's why I asked, like, after he landed after that power bomb, did he land wrong and like twist his ankle somehow? Because that's how he was walking. Because when you hurt your back, you're not standing straight up and down and limping. Like, that doesn't happen.
Well, he did have like five referees holding him up.
Yeah. But nah. Still, it was still awesome though.
Still awesome. And that match. Just means, and Kevin Owens,
that just like, means John Cena's not gonna be there for a while, so
he'll probably be back next week.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope they kind of keep him out for a while.
What I heard was after he lost the last match, like, there was a noticeable drop in money, like merchandise being sold, like Cena merch and shit and house show numbers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so John Cena is very important to them.
Wow.
Even though they rely on it, I think, a little too much, if they try to, like, find a way to get John Cena money without John Cena, they would be good as gold, because it's kind of hard to, like, get this monster Kevin Owens over by taking out John Cena to the point where, like, oh, this guy's a fucking real deal, when John Cena would just show up the next week and, like, oh, hey, I'm fine. Buy the shirt and these wristbands.
Yeah.
Like, because I can understand, hey, money's important because, hey, that's how we keep this shit running.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like, you can't let it be a crutch. Because you have to build for the future as well as worry about the present. Because if the future looks good, then everything what happens now, monetary losses, you can take that risk because you got a bright future ahead of you. But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy, Jim.
No, you're not crazy, because you can't just rely on one person forever.
Right.
You know, there's always going to be a new guy that's going to take that spot. That's going to take that top guy spot. It's just, it could have been Roman Reigns. I don't think he can now.
It's because they just make him another John Cena.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't have another John Cena. John Cena is good for what he is, and that's for being that guy for kids and bitches. Yeah. But you need somebody that has universal appeal. That should be your next guy. Somebody that everybody can get behind.
Yeah. Because right now, it's like the crowd's completely split. Some people are booing John Cena. Some people are cheering John Cena. And it makes for a really bipolar match when you're watching it. And the fucking heel is getting more over than you are. Or at all. You know, the heel really shouldn't even be getting over. He should be getting booed the whole match. But I don't know. Like, they'll figure it out one day.
Speaking of heels not getting booed, let's talk about this New Day versus Primetime Players.
Yeah. It was a good match.
It was good. Titus O'Neil, I would not get in the ring with that guy. He throws people.
Yeah, that dude, like, it doesn't look comfortable.
It doesn't. He just throws the fucking guy to the side of the ring. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, Titus? Chill.
He just barks.
He did the pounce.
Yeah. Oh, he did do the pounce. Yeah. The pounce. I loved the pounce. That was a cool move.
Yeah, Monty Brown was awesome. That was my favorite part of TNA in 2005.
Yeah, he was awesome. Like, and then that was, because he could fucking, with that six-sided ring, like, he'd throw him one way and then fucking come at him in a completely different direction, just knock the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And it was
so weird when he came to WWE. I'm like, how is a pounce going to work? I don't know how this works.
I'll tell you, it's not going to be as cool as you thought it was. Because what was his name in WWE? Because he wasn't there for very long.
Marcus Corvad.
That's right. He was there long enough to be in the video game.
Yep. He got a WrestleMania match, so.
Yeah. The same could be said for Vance Archer. He actually made it to the game.
Yeah. And now he's in the Killer Elite Squad in New Japan.
Yep.
Who's not even in New Japan right now, because you're in NOAH, doing NOAH shit. Because I think New Japan bought Noah, so they sent like all of Suzuki-gun to Noah to just fuck shit up. So not Kenzo Suzuki, Minoru
Suzuki. Is Noah not in Japan?
Noah's in Japan. They're just a smaller company.
Okay. See, that's what I thought. I thought you said they weren't in Japan at that point.
No, they're not in New Japan. Like Shelton Benjamin and like Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer. They're all over there beating up the TMDK guys and shit.
Right on.
Yeah. Doing big things.
They do big things. I'm doing things. Awesome, because I just found Access TV, so I get to watch New Japan now.
Yeah.
And then that whole thing, that when I texted you the match, it was like Bad Luck Fale versus Shinsuke Nakamura. That was from last year, but I didn't know it.
Yeah, the whole show's like a year behind, so.
Oh, really?
It's pretty much New Japan's weekly TV show in Japan, but they just dub over with English commentary and subtitles.
Yeah.
But they're at mercy of what New Japan sends them, and so they have tapes from a year ago, which is still awesome because awesome matches.
And it's awesome for me because I've never seen them, so it works. But
if I haven't seen it, it's new to me.
Huh?
If I haven't seen it, it's new to me.
Yeah, exactly. But have they done the G1 Classic yet? Because that's what's coming up in 2 weeks.
That's what's coming up. Yeah, that, like I said, it's a year ago. It's
so that's brand year behind. So is that brand new then?
No, that's last year's G1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's regarded as the best G1 tournament of all time. So,
well, that should be good,
though. You're in for some good matches. That AJ Styles Suzuki match, which was like match of the year, and like Nakamura Okada, fucking a lot of good shit. Kota Ibushi's not in it because he was hurt, but he's in this year, and this year is about to start.
Any tag matches or?
No, G1's all singles. It's a singles tournament. Singles. They have the big tournaments are, you have the New Japan Cup in the spring. Then in May you have the junior, what is it called? Best of the Super Juniors, which is the juniors tournament. Then you got the G1. Then you have the G1 Tag League.
Okay.
So then the tag tournament towards the end of the year.
That'd be pretty cool to watch. I'd like to see that. So I'm glad I got that.
How was King Fale versus Nakamura? Nakamura, my favorite wrestler.
Oh, it was fucking cool. Yeah. It was really fucking cool. He fucking blasted that dude with that knee.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I've seen that match. I might have that full show somewhere on a hard drive. Yeah. I don't think I've seen that match.
Yeah. It's where he won the Intercontinental title.
Was there an undercard match? Usually there's either one or two matches on
there. Yeah, I think, like, the first match, it was a tag team match, but I don't even remember the guys' names.
Okay.
Because they were all Japanese guys, and they've all got really hard names. Like one of them was Yoshi something.
Yoshihashi.
That might have been. Yeah, I think he was one of them. I remember Yoshi only because Super Mario.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Yoshitatsu because I don't think he was.
Yeah, there. It wasn't Yoshitatsu. I remember Yoshitatsu. Yeah.
You should see that match with him and AJ Styles, and AJ murders him with a Styles Clash. That match was really good until he fucking died.
That's too bad.
But I hear he's doing better now. So, Yoshi Tatsu, I know you're listening to this because you're a big fan. Get well soon, buddy.
Get well.
Hajini Mashite. Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose? Bray Wyatt killed Roman Reigns in that ladder match, by the way.
We forgot to cover that. Mm. Bray Wyatt's back in a actually kind of can be viable rivalry.
Yeah.
So, because the fucking promo he gave on Raw was really creepy. So, see how this plays out. Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins was unbelievable.
Yeah. I slept at the beginning of the match, by the way, because I was super tired.
Oh, man.
But that was more my fault than the match's fault. It wasn't like Sheamus putting me to sleep. It was life putting me to sleep.
Like, we were already kind of like pretty into that match, and I looked at my phone to see what time it was, and it was only 9:30. Like, it had started, but it hadn't gotten too far into the match. And I checked my time, and it was 9:30. I'm like, oh, my God. Either something really big's going to happen, or this match is going to be a fucking barn burner.
Oh, yeah. It was a long one.
Mm-hmm. fucking Seth injuring Dean Ambrose's leg.
Yeah, that was the match, beating up the leg.
Yeah.
And asking him how he plans to climb with one leg.
Yeah.
He said it at least 50 times.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I heard him say in this match.
Yeah.
Was how do you plan to climb with one leg?
He did it, though. He was doing it.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Easy if you don't sell, so.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about, like, Dean did, though. Dean was totally selling because he was climbing up, like, one rung at a time, one leg and one hand at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have been using both of his arms, but the leg that was injured, kayfabe injured, whatever, was dangling off that ladder the entire time. Like, I don't think he used it once. And he was just, like, pulling himself up the ladder. It looked really good. Seth did the running powerbomb against the guardrail twice.
Yeah.
The second one, he launched him through the air.
So far. I was worried about that dude's neck. I'm like,
because he got launched through the air, flew, and just smashed himself against that. Against that guardrail. It was nuts.
I want to ask you a question. A little inside baseball trivia question. How do wrestlers remember which body part to sell? Like, which limb or which leg or arm? Why do they never, like, confuse the right leg for the left leg?
That's a good question, because I was also thinking about that. That ran through my mind. Usually runs through my mind when something like that happens. I honestly don't know. I just figured they just committed to memory and they know what's going on. But
well, I will tell you, Jim, because I do know the answer to this. In American wrestling, at least, you always work to the left of your opponent.
Okay.
So if you're working a body part, you're always going to work the left arm or the left leg.
Okay.
Yeah, so they always know the left leg is going to be the one you're going to sell.
Yeah, I've never known that.
Yeah.
I've never known that.
In Mexico, you work to the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, that's good to know. I really thought about that.
The more you know about wrestling.
Da, 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 da.
Talk about the finish.
The finish was fucking Seth Rollins is climbing and he's almost up there and he's got a hold of it. And then Dean Ambrose comes up right behind him on the same side of the ladder as him and fucking is pulling himself up. Like I was talking about, leg dangling in the breeze as he's just using all of his upper body strength, just pull himself up this fucking ladder and also hooks the belt. And so they're both fighting over it and they're punching each other. And then Seth is able to, you know, get all the fucking snaps, unsnaps it, and they both fall off the ladder, and it just barely slips right through Dean's fingers into Seth Rollins' hands. And Seth Rollins won this match.
One thing I don't like.
Uh-huh.
Dean stole the belt at the last pay-per-view, and he's been running around with it for the last 2 weeks. How did they get the belt and had it hanging up above the ring?
I just assume... like gives it to an official in the back.
I guess this is like,
and then they take it, and then they take it out. They take it out there and hook it. And
I would have just for continuity, just had Dean wear the belt out to the ring, and
then
give it to the referee. He hooks it on and then shoots it up to the sky. Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's like they don't do that a lot anyway. They always have the belt beforehand,
yeah.
And it's always up there before the match.
But so, I would think kleptomaniac Dean Ambrose would not be so willing to give the belt up to the official.
Yeah, that for sake of continuity, that would have been the best way to go, I think.
Yeah.
So all in all, not a great pay-per-view, but the last two matches were fucking fantastic.
The
latter half of the pay-per-view. Because in my mind, I'm seeing Owens, John Cena, and then Ambrose, Rollins. But I'm forgetting there was a tag match in between that.
Okay. So we got a title change, and we have a new Mr. Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Which is going to lead into Raw, where we get an awesome Sheamus and Randy Orton feud.
Yay!
This is a feud that will not end.
Yes, it goes on and on, my friends.
Those niggas started wrestling, and I just fell right to sleep. I think I'm going to go in the bathroom and maybe beat my meat.
That'd be far more entertaining.
Way more entertaining. Jerking it
Randy instead of Sheamus feud again.
Watching Randy and Sheamus on pay-per-view with no commercial interruption, so I can at least watch an awesome Popeyes commercial.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I don't know. I was actually... I thought that fucking Adrian Neville was about to win it there at the end.
Yeah, I did too.
I actually believed it.
I didn't think there was any chance that Sheamus would be in. I mean, that Sheamus would win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think for once it was going to be Sheamus. Especially the way that fucking Elimination Chamber went last... You know, 2 weeks, or I guess 4 weeks ago now, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
After that whole fucking shit show of a match, I thought for sure they'd be pissed off at him or something. Like, not be willing to, like, hey, let's fucking put the money in the bank in your hand. No. He should be punished severely for that horrid match.
Let's ghetto blast through Raw. AKA yeah. Monday Night Kevin Steen.
Monday Night Steam, bitch.
So Dean Ambrose pissed. Rollins is proud of himself. R-Truth beat Wade Barrett in 25 seconds. All right, here we go. Kevin Owens comes out.
Kevin Owens. Yeah, he came out, and the first thing he did, which I don't think enough heels do anymore, is interact with fans, kind of. And I mean that, like, even, like, being mean to kids, okay? Because Kevin Owens straight up looked at that little kid right in the front row, looked dead in his eyes, and was like, did the fucking you can't see me, John Cena's not going to be here tonight. Like, totally just shattered this little kid's world. Because this little kid's, like, anxious for John Cena, and Owens is just like, no, he's not here. You're stupid. I loved it. I you very rarely see anybody be mean to anybody.
They said John Cena suffered lower back contusions, severe muscle spasms, and bruising.
Yeah. Just from one power bomb on the ring.
He got a bruise.
Yeah.
Owen said that after Cena beat him last night, Cena told him that he deserved to be there. And Owen said that this is the most disrespectful thing that he's ever heard because he's been around for 15 years and didn't need someone like Cena telling him where he belonged.
Yeah.
He said when Cena shook his hand last night, Cena shook his hand because Cena always has to have the spotlight. Always said Cena's a bad winner and he's not a sore loser. And next time he fights Cena, he wants the U.S. title. On the line. And since Cena wasn't there tonight, Owens makes an open challenge, and Dolph Ziggler came out with Lana, who disappeared, because I don't know what's going on.
I don't know why story. She doesn't. She comes out with him, but doesn't come out with him. It makes no sense.
So fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even seem like they're together. Like, if...
Yeah.
If I didn't go back and watch this segment, I would have no idea Lana was there.
And she seemed to be walking perfectly this week, aside from... her fucking horrible spill on the lowest part of the ramp last week.
They forgot about that angle just like I forgot about that angle.
Yeah. I forgot about it until just now. I was thinking about it when she walked out. I was like, wait a minute, she did walk. It wasn't limping.
She walked out of the pay-per-view and disappeared.
Yeah. Like, what valet does that? What valet doesn't go all the way out to the fucking ring?
She comes out to the stage, shows her ass, and then leaves.
That ass, though. Does make it worth it. Does make it worth it.
BSGD.
Yeah, what? What did you say?
I said BSGD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
Ziggler's...
We got a really awesome match. Another pretty good match.
So him and Ziggler. They go to announce that it's an NXT title match, and Kevin Owens like, whoa, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't say this was a title match. You said it was open challenge.
called Lillian Garcia Blondie. I like that. I was like, whoa, Blondie.
Like, bitch, don't be assuming shit. I'm Kevin Owens, right? Home.
Powerbomb you, just like a powerbomb Zena.
He did say that, didn't he?
I don't think he did. I think I just said that.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think he actually said that.
His face said it.
Yeah. We'll just say he did. Yeah, he totally said it.
They had a really long match.
They had a really long match, but it was good, though.
It was good. I'm kind of over Ziggler. I don't know. He's doing absolutely nothing for me. I've never been that big of a Ziggler fan.
I still believe in Ziggler. I do.
I heard he's not resigning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Probably because he's working a lot of... He's trying to do a lot of comedy now.
And I hear his comedy show sucks.
Really?
Yeah. I hear it's really bad.
Well, he did just start, so I mean, you know.
I mean, he's not really funny, though.
I don't know. I think he's pretty funny.
I mean, compared to, like, Zach, like, he's not funny. Like, his fucking Tosh.0 YouTube show, it was just not that good.
Oh, I forgot about that show. Yeah. I never watched it, so. I think you do all right. Like, you know, you start being a comedian, you're not going to kill immediately, you know? Like, so.
He fucked Amy Schumer, though.
I still, like I said, I believe in Dolph Ziggler. Not as much as I believe in Harvey Dent, but I believe in Dolph Ziggler.
And his hairband patches?
Yeah. His Megadeth patches and poison and shit.
Megadeth. I did just
go. That's like brand new. I don't think I've ever seen him wear that vest before.
He's been wearing it. I don't know if...
He's been wearing vests, but I don't think he's been wearing one with bands on it.
I think he just discovered, like, hair metal, because his tights have, like, the Motley Crue logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has all these fucking Skid Row and fucking Poison patches
and Megadeth, and I'm down for Skid Row and Megadeth. The other ones I'm gonna take or leave them.
At one Wrestle Kingdom show, the guitarist from Megadeth played Hiroshi Tanahashi's theme song with them to the ring, so that was pretty awesome.
That's pretty fucking awesome. That's really fucking awesome.
I think he lives in Japan.
That's cool.
Yeah. But, Kevin Owens won with a pop-up powerbomb.
Yep.
It was a very good match. Go ahead and watch it.
I really like the spot of Ziggler leapfrogging over Owens and then catching him with the zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't win with it, obviously, but I like that spot. It was pretty cool. So, we can move on now. That's all I wanted to say.
I'm still not sure what the zigzag is.
I just assume, well, at first it looked more like a neck breaker, but now he's doing it like a, almost like a reverse bulldog kind of looking thing.
Or kind of like a sleeper slam, or?
Yes, a sleeper. It's just basically him like jumping up, grabbing somebody's head and just slamming it down to the mat at this point. Like, because at first it was like he would do it, but he would stay kind of like, he would stay with them all the way down. And kind of, it would like kind of be like a backbreaker on the side of his body. It was almost like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just him like fucking grabbing somebody's head from really high up and just slamming it all the way down. So I don't know.
Tell me about this Bray Wyatt promo that you talked about.
Ooh, it was disturbing. He was talking about how it should have been him in Money in the Bank and not Roman.
Right.
Which I very much agree with. It was, you know, about how it's, I think he said it was his time or something like that. But I know by the end of it, he was holding up a picture of Roman and his daughter from that fucking commercial about being a dad or whatever. And
dude,
it's,
I see that picture on every fucking bus in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Every fucking bus is that picture of Roman Reigns drinking fucking tea with his little girl.
Oh, man. Jeez. They wanted to make you look like a tough guy. It's not working.
Drinking tea. And then Bray Wyatt saying, I'm a little teapot.
Yeah, he started singing it, like, really fucking creepily and fucking looking at this picture, and I'm like, whoa, this is going to be good. So,
So MGK came out to sing a little song.
Yeah.
They had some, like, black bitch that might have been JoJo, but I'm not 100% sure if it was JoJo. She had curly hair. And she was obviously lip-singing because her voice is auto-tuned. And I don't know if you can sing auto-tune live. I don't know how that technology works.
I think there is like, a voice box kind of thing.
That bitch wasn't singing.
Attachment that you can get for a microphone, I think.
I know what live mics sound like. And
that was not a live mic.
That bitch wasn't singing. So,
like I said, I didn't think I could stomach it, so I didn't watch it.
MGK is really skinny.
Yeah.
Like, really fucking skinny. I'm pretty sure he does a lot of crack.
It has to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he has to do just, like, so much crack. Especially to write terrible music. And the crap makes him think, oh, this is good, man.
Yeah.
This is good shit. Like, no, it's not. It's not. You're just high on crack.
And he references, like, Kurt Cobain and shit in his song. And I'm like, I don't think Kurt Cobain would like your shitty song. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That nigga had taste.
How dare you.
But then after he was singing his little song, Kevin Owens on a stage clapping, like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah.
And then, like, he goes to shake his hand, and Kevin Owens is not like people asking to shake his fucking hand.
Nope.
And so Machine Gun Kelly calls him a tool and shoves him, and Kevin Owens kicks the shit out of him.
Instead of
doubling over like Eric Bischoff, this nigga goes flying, because Kevin Owens has pretty powerful kicks.
Yeah, he's like right in the stomach kicking.
And then he picks him up and power bombs the shit out of him onto a crash pad.
Yeah.
A la Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, which I wish he could have just powerbombed him on the floor, you know, because that dude is terrible, and I want him to go away.
I would have gone into business for myself and threw him off the other side of the stage where there was no crash pad.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They could have made it look a little bit better.
I don't understand why they keep
that big fucking foam mat just sitting there.
Yeah.
They did, like, the fucking wood panel over the crash pad. They could have, like, shot it in a way where it just looks like he falls onto the ground.
They could have just fucking, like, put a black sheet over it.
Yeah.
And then it could have looked like it could have been, like, if people were looking at it through the night, they could have just been like, oh, well, it's, like, probably, like, sound stuff or whatever. But
right.
Yeah, they just, like, were just like, no, he might as well have just fucking powerbombed him into a big, like, tank of foam cubes.
A foam pit?
Yeah, that, like, he might as well have. But the point is that he did powerbomb him off of something, and it was awesome. Because that dude is terrible. And I only wish he had come out in the middle of his fucking song and beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, tell him to quit doing shitty music for a living and get a real
job. I don't know why they keep booking these people that nobody likes. Just about every musical guest I've ever seen on Raw gets booed.
I don't know what's up with that. It's just
like, I think people just don't want to fucking see musical performance. They just want to fucking, they wanted to come to the fucking see WWE. They wanted to come see fucking superstars. They don't want to.
I did like when Wiz Khalifa was there and they would film like white people dancing awkwardly in the audience. That was entertaining.
That would have been pretty good. That would be pretty good. I kind of want to see that. Bad white people dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. When it happens, boy, does it happen.
Like when Stephanie dances, that's like the best version of white people dancing that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Like good old Stephanie McMahon dancing. So tell me about who's the new challenger for the World Heavyweight title at the next pay-per-view.
Well, T-Bird, he hails from a place I like to call Suplex City. Motherfucking Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman are motherfucking back, and he totally fucking bitched out Seth Rollins. It was great.
Do you want to go to Battleground in St. Louis?
I don't want to go to St. Louis ever.
Yeah.
I just want to not. I just want to know that St. Louis doesn't exist.
But Brock Lesnar's going to be there. You're not going to see St. Louis. You're going to see Brock throw people.
That is true, but no, I'm not going. I actually think they're going to be here Monday night, though, after that. Because Brock's coming to Kansas City.
Yeah, but I don't know if Brock is going to be there. And he's definitely not going to throw anybody.
Brock might not be there, but a certain Mr. Kevin Owens might.
The most physical thing he's going to do is flex his pecs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying Kevin Owens might be there.
That is
probably
true.
Will be there. So I would kind of like to see Kevin Owens live.
I'm trying to think if I've seen live more, Kevin Owens or Brock Lesnar. I know I've seen Brock Lesnar wrestle Kurt Angle and Big Show in a three-way. I saw him wrestle The Undertaker. And I've seen him do promos twice live. So I've seen him four times. I'm pretty sure I've seen Kevin Owens more than four times.
I was at Backlash the year. It was Triple H versus Hulk Hogan.
When Brock Lesnar wrestled Jeff Hardy?
He wrestled both of them. He wrestled both the Hardy Boys that night, I believe. Yeah. And it was like, he hadn't even been there that long either.
Yeah, he debuted that month.
Yeah. So it was like, that was pretty awesome. And then I don't think I saw him live again. I think maybe I did once.
You saw him wrestle Goldberg.
I did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like from that point, from the beginning of his career to the
night. His first pay-per-view and his last pay-per-view before he left.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I feel like there had to have been something in between there, but I don't know. It was pretty awesome, though. Not the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match. That really disappointed me. I was at WrestleMania, and I was so psyched up for that match.
It had to be like, yeah, either boring, one of them.
Yeah. I had no idea either one of them were leaving. So, the Stone Cold was in it too. Like, everything about that match, I was just like, yes, I'm fucking about this. And then I wasn't. I was really fucking disappointed.
Well, I got to see Rock, Austin, and Hogan all in the same ring. Talking and shit.
Yeah, you sure did. WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
So yeah, Brock's back. Brock, Seth Rollins for Battleground, which I thought was weird. I thought they'd save that for SummerSlam.
They're building Triple H and Rollins for SummerSlam. So I'm guessing Brock wins the title again. Maybe. I don't know. What are they going to do? Because I don't see Seth pinning Brock clean. Maybe, I don't know who would interfere to help fucking Seth win.
I don't know. You know, I'm trying to think about this here. Because I don't know. Somehow, Brock could lose. They could have him lose.
How would they have Brock lose?
That's the thing. I just don't know. Maybe disqualification, where Seth gets to keep the title.
Or he wins by disqualification.
Yeah. And then they go to Seth Rollins, Triple H at SummerSlam. It could go one of either two ways. Kevin Owens could come out and help Triple H. And they could make this for the title, too.
Okay.
They could totally make this for the title. But do it in a way like, okay, Kevin Owens comes out, helps Triple H. Kevin Owens is the new golden boy for the authority. Triple H is the new champion. But then the next night on Raw, he either just hands the belt to Kevin Owens or starts some kind of tournament where he gives Kevin Owens every single advantage to get all the way to the end. Or just puts him at the end.
And then turns on him at the very last second.
Yeah.
Like they did to Mick Foley at Survivor Series 98.
Oh, yeah. Also from St. Louis.
Was that in St. Louis?
Yeah, because I had some friends go to that.
Gross.
Yeah.
But it was a Rock won his first title.
Yeah. So, I don't know. They could maybe do it like that. They could maybe do that. Because I'm so positive that fucking Kevin Owens is going to be the new golden boy for the authority. I'm just positive of it.
And Triple H are butt buddies.
Yeah.
So tell me some Dusty stories. What are your favorite Dusty memories?
Oh, man. I mean, so much Dusty. So much Dusty. Like, you know, there was all his fucking... Every time he did commentary for WCW pay-per-views, it was amazing.
He's got a bicycle.
Yeah. Funky like a monkey. God damn. Him versus Ric Flair. Like, all of them. Ric Flair, the Fall Hossman. He came up with fucking War Games.
Yeah. We had the War Games with him and the fucking Road Warriors and Nikita against the Horsemen.
Yeah.
Or that one with him and Dustin and the Nasty Boys against, like, Terry Funk and Bunkhouse Buck, Jack Swagger Sr. And two other motherfuckers that I can't remember. Was it the Samoans?
I think so.
Let me look up all the War Games matches. Because
they don't have...
I wish the first War Games I ever saw when WCW Worldwide would show classic matches like every week, and they showed that shit, and that was awesome.
I really wish that the WWE Network could show old NWA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to watch, like, week for week, like, the whole Four Horsemen run. You know, I would love to be able to watch that. And everything leading up to the war, like, you know.
I got that War Games DVD somewhere, and they have, like, all the matches and shit, every, like, War Games ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I remember that DVD.
I mean, that just came out, like, a few months ago, like, a year ago.
Yeah. No, I
remember. Maybe less, because I think I watched it on this very computer, so.
Yeah. I'm going to have to seek that out. Awesome. I'd love to have that.
Let me see. When did that War Games match happen? There's one with Sting, Ron Simmons, Tom Zank, Robert Gibson against Nikita Koloff, One Man Gang, Diamond Stud, Richard Morton. That does not sound like an epic War Games match.
I did just I watched not too long ago Wrestle War.
Well, Sting Squadron against the Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah. I watched that not too long ago. That was awesome.
Okay, the one I'm thinking of was Fall Brawl 94, which was Dusty, Dustin, Nasty Boys against Terry Funk, Bunkhouse Buck, Arn Anderson, and Robert Parker, Tennessee Lee.
J-E-double-L. Oh, that guy.
Ain't he great? The Tennessee Stud, the man with the largest penis in wrestling.
I think it might have been on the episode of Legends of Wrestling, the Soul of Wrestling.
Yeah.
Where there's talking about, like, the African American influence and all that.
And they just had Dusty on the panel because he's the blackest man in wrestling. Because
Dustin, he was fucking, God, he was so great.
I love watching those fucking Legends panels with Dusty.
Yeah, they were the best.
Yeah.
Those were, like, some of the best ones.
Just him telling
stories. But this one was, like, I think.
About the first time we met Ric Flair, fucking he had
him and
shit.
Yeah. I think it was Bill Watts that was telling a story about when they were going to introduce Harlem Heat, and they were led to the ring by Colonel Parker in chains, like slaves, and he was the slave master. And that lasted for one time. Yeah. And I don't think he said something about he doesn't even think the footage made it to TV.
Yeah, I've never seen the footage.
Yeah.
I remember that Colonel Parker as their manager for a long time.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember that. But
until Sherry came.
He was talking about when they first, well, I guess when they debuted or something.
Mm-hmm. When they were Kane Cole?
Yeah, they were like fucking, they were led out to the ring by Colonel Parker. And
you know what Harlem that led to, right?
Harlem Heat was in chains. What are you talking about?
That led to the debut of the Shockmaster.
Oh,
Brawl 93. Because they had the War Games with Sting and British Bulldog, Dustin and the Shockmaster against Sid, Vader, and Harlem Heat.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
When Shockmaster said, fuck it, and came out with a fucking construction helmet.
That's Uncle Freya. Oh, God damn it. Dusty, you will be fucking missed so much. And I think what really fucking made me fucking like, I fucking shed tears for a guy I've never met. And I never do that. Even with like other famous people that have died that I really like, I've never shed any kind of tears. I think it was just me thinking about like how much of an impact that he's had on everything that he's touched.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he's influenced in his life. And I don't know, just something about that. It just fucking just, I just welled up, man. Just thinking about it. Just the influence one person has on like an entire fucking life, you know, in a complete fucking world, you know, not just in wrestling, just, I don't know, something about that. I just was like, wow. It just kind of took me back.
Yeah, no, she's the man.
God damn, he was. That fucking swig of blue raspberry lemonade for the common man, Daddy.
Pour a little bit of this dew out for Dusty.
Yeah. But into your mouth, because
right into my mouth.
Dew would ruin your carpet. Yeah, dude. You don't want to ruin your carpet.
Because we don't waste no dew in this house.
Yeah. Not in this house.
Let's talk about this goddamn Big Show movie.
Oh, boy. This Big Show movie was actually not as bad as I would have thought.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a little movie.
I really enjoyed it.
It was the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, I'm surprised how much I enjoyed it. There was Blues Brothers elements. There was Blues Brothers elements. There was Three Stooges elements.
Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, fucking... Just by virtue of the fact
that automobiles.
Yeah. Just by virtue of the fact that he was a giant person hanging out with normal sized people, Harry and the Hendersons. It was a little bit like because there was a scene in this movie where like it's a really wide shot and they're walking in front of a cornfield and it's like he still looks huge walking next to fucking Jan Levinson from The Office. And his trainer.
Is that who that is? Who's in The Office?
Her name on The Office was Jan Levinson.
Okay.
I can't remember what the actress's name is, but yeah, she is on The Office. And then the nun at the orphanage.
Was Nina Van Horn.
Yeah, it's from Dream On and Just Shoot Me.
Yeah.
And currently, hot in Cleveland on TV Land with Betty White.
Meemaw's favorite television program.
She actually, you know what? You know what's funny is that she did watch it for a little while, and then she was like, I don't like that show. Betty White's mean on that show. She didn't like that she wasn't like Rose Nyland on the Golden Girls, like really nice and naive kind of woman. Like, she was genuinely upset that Betty White was like kind of like a fucking mean, crotchety old lady on that show. But, nah, so that was funny. But
thank you for being a friend, Jim.
Thank you for being a friend, Tyler. Travel down the road and back again. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there was this big wide shot where he's walking behind him and he looks so big. And I kept thinking to myself, man, WWE should remake Harry and the Hendersons with the Big Show.
Yeah, but we do have the Dean Cain movie to look forward to. That's going to be awesome.
Which they showed a trailer for on Raw last night.
Yeah, they've been showing trailers for it.
I hadn't seen any since I saw that poster in the Authority locker room. I hadn't seen any trailers for it until last night.
What is it called?
Oh.
Lock up, lockdown. No, lockdown CNA.
It's like, oh, damn it. I'm going to have to look it up now.
Vendetta.
I want to say
Vendetta.
Oh, Vendetta.
Okay. Lockdown is a Dean Ambrose movie that hasn't been
released yet.
Yeah.
And then I kept thinking Damage, because I know it was just like one word, but Damage is a movie that Austin's in where he plays like a fucking like underground fighter, like Fight Club fighter.
Okay. It's
pretty fucking awesome fucking movie. As far as like, dude, he could do some fucking funny action movies, man. There's one right now on Netflix that I want to watch with Steven Seagal and Stone Cold Steve Austin, because that just sounds insane.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it in Target a few times. The ones that are coming out that aren't out yet are Lockdown, starring Dean Ambrose, which is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The Condemned 2, Death and Prey, starring Randy Orton. Incarnate, not starring Brock Lesnar, but starring Mark Henry.
What?
Yeah. There's one Mark called Henry. Term Life that I guess doesn't have any wrestlers in it. Killing Hasselhoff with Hulk Hogan.
What?
Yep.
Oh,
yep. They made a David Hasselhoff movie. Santa's Little Helper, starring The Miz and Paige. Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery Part 2.
Oh.
Because it was so nice, we had to make it twice. The Interrogation, starring Edge and Lana. A film adaptation of The Fall Guy, starring, wait for it, The Rock.
Ooh.
And there's one called Eliminator, starring Wade Barrett.
What movie starring Wade Barrett?
It's called The Eliminators, or Eliminators. Harry Saturn has nothing to do with it.
That's too bad. He could be like, at this point now, he could be like the fucking, the chief of police that like tells Wade Barrett that like, the mayor's up my ass and you're destroying all the property. What are you doing? Give me your badge and gun. You're suspended. Then put him in the Rings of Saturn. So Knucklehead.
Knucklehead. It starts out with, really, heartwarming music, so you know it's one of those movies like had that Dennis the Menace feel.
Yeah,
little John Hughes action going.
Mm-hmm.
So we open up with an orphanage putting on production of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
And then you get inside, and there's you're focusing on an orphan.
Yeah, a little.
Which at first
kid.
I thought it was going to be like a flashback to Big Show as a
Me
kid.
Me too. I thought it was Baby Big Show.
Even though he was playing like a fucking 3DS or whatever. Like,
he was playing a Game Boy Advance a regular Game Boy game in it.
Yeah.
Things I notice in movies.
That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. I just knew the game was sticking out too far to be a Game Boy. So I just thought it was like a 3DS or something.
But the sound effects were like a Tiger game.
Oh my god.
There was a lot of beeps and boops.
Yeah, I just watched an episode of Angry Video Game Nerd last night.
Oh, the Tiger Game episode?
Did nothing but Tiger Games, yeah. And I had one Tiger game and one handheld Konami game. The Konami game was Ninja Turtles, and the Tiger game I had was Tiny Toon Adventures.
I had so many Tiger games. I had about three WCW ones.
Because
there was like one that was like a two pack, because you had a friend to play like versus with, and it was like DDP versus Raven.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so that was pretty awesome. And I had one that was just like regular WCW, and you were like Sting, I think, fighting against everybody.
Yeah,
and Sting with like a top rope splash, so that was kind of cool. But yeah, so I had Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat.
Tiger Game Mortal Kombat. Yeah, because he reviewed that one. That one looked terrible.
Yeah. I may or may not have had a Batman one. I've had a few Tiger games, because when you're poor, can't afford fancy Game Boys, you gotta take the next best thing. You can buy a $300 Game Boy and buy $40 games, or you can buy yourself a little $15, $10 game that's gonna keep me happy on the train.
Yeah. I never had Game Boy. Yeah. I never had a Game Boy.
I had a Game Gear.
The Sega Game Gear.
Yep, I had VR Troopers for it. That was like my one game that I
played. Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
And Echo the Dolphin came with it. And so VR Troopers, Echo the Dolphin. I think I had another game, but I didn't get that many games for it.
I would imagine you probably had, it was probably Sonic the Hedgehog.
No.
Really?
I didn't have Sonic Dash. I don't know that for a fact.
I thought Sonic just came standard with nope. Sega stuff. Wow.
No, you gotta pay for Sonic, bro. That's...
Yeah, but you better pay for Sonic. You pay for that.
I think
Sonic.
I had, like... It might have, I think I had a matching game that I never played. I think my mom played it. But Echo the Dolphin and VR Troopers is pretty much my go-to. That thing took 6 double A's. So, needless to say, that shit didn't get played often.
Right. Man, that's, I knew people that had Game Gear that I would
and that like, shit was in color. Like, and had good color.
Yeah, it
color.
Looked good.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Compared to, like, Game Boy, which more people had.
Yeah.
And everything was black and white.
Yeah. But with, like, Game Gear... I didn't even know they had a VR Trooper game, honestly.
That was the only VR Trooper game that exists was on Game Gear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The VR Trooper's nerd. I had their little necklace thing that they transformed with.
And I got really?
A Wendy's Kids meal.
Oh, that's awesome.
I thought I was a shit.
Because I just... Because I used to have my house key around my neck. Because my parents were going to be home when I got home, so I had to have a way to get inside. And this was the easiest way to ensure that my dumb ass didn't lose it because I had a tendency to do that. So I had the key around my neck.
And let the record state for the fans listening at home, when VR Troopers came out, I was about 6. That'll put Jim at about 12. Go on.
Oh, yeah. We don't even have to fucking verify that. I think everybody knows, you know, shit. I knew I wasn't fucking popular with girls years before that. So I was like, fuck it. I'll just like whatever I like. I don't care.
I was just speaking more for the fact about you having the risk of losing your key at 12 years old.
I'm bad at losing stuff.
Well, most people were finger banging chicks in the.
I lost my glasses for like an entire year. And they were just in a coat. They were just in a coat that I hadn't worn in a long time. So yeah, I had a tendency to lose shit. And then, so I had this key around my neck, and then
VR probably was when he started smoking weed.
Yeah, not even then. Like I know where everything is now. Like I know where all my stuff is. Yes. So I can find my keys now. I know where my keys are. I don't have to wear them around my neck anymore like a dog. But
that was the only way you transformed into a VR Trooper.
Yeah, so I had this key around my neck, and then VR Troopers happened. So the key around my neck became the fucking VR Trooper, like, fucking crystal thing that they had. And we would fucking play it, like, at the playground and shit down around the corner from my house. That's what I was trying to get before you had to go on the tirade of insulting me for, like, 5 minutes. So this movie.
So the little fat kid is Toto. And this gay kid is Dorothy. And he's saying, you're just fucking jealous that I'm Dorothy and you're not.
Like, why? Why would he be jealous? I get to play a dog. You have to wear a dress. What part of this is jealousy?
Yeah, so Nina Van Horn, as a nun, comes out and says that there's been a change in casting, and the Good Witch will be played by Norman the Lunatic. What was his name? Norman? Norman something? Walter? Oh, no, Walter. Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking they were saying. I kept thinking they said you're saying Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
So they lower his fucking big ass on.
Why would they even do that? Why won't he just walk out? Glinda's a good witch.
I don't know, because he's supposed to be the witch. He's supposed to be the good witch, and she flies.
I guess.
So, or floats or whatever, but like. It was funny though because he's so huge and he kept like knocking kids off the stage, so like that was pretty good.
Yeah. Like WWE film slapstick.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty funny.
He had lipstick on and everything.
Like, but then you know the fucking winch gave out and he drops to the ground and knocks over the whole set and you know all that shit. So. Then you cut to the gym. I think the gym scene was next.
Mm-hmm.
Where like his Big Show soon to be fight coach has this new prospect, and then a mob guy, which I've seen in like.
I thought it was Stan Lee, so I wrote Stan Lee comes in.
Yeah, he does look like a mobster, Stan Lee.
Starts harassing him, and then he brings in Ezekiel Jackson.
Yeah,
as a fighter named Red Rum.
And it's bugging me because I know, like,
it's not just Bo Jackson.
I've seen that dude, not this Eagle Jackson dude, but mobster Stan Lee. I've seen him in so many things, and I can't think of a single one of them. Because he's just like, he's that guy, you know, but that you see in a movie. It's like, I've seen you in so much shit, but I don't know your name, and I, like, you're just that guy.
And like last review, I'm cheating by using WrestleCrap.com's review of the movie instead of my own one that I took half notes for and then just kind of gave up because I got tired of typing.
Yeah, I didn't take a whole lot of notes just because, like, I was actually kind of engaged with the movie, so I just kind of started watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You go to that, and then
We meet Stanley's fighter. His name is Red Rum.
Yeah,
which for the record is murder spelled backwards.
If you're not down with The Shining,
yeah. Red Rum. That's a much better Tony than mine.
Yeah. So then they cut back to the church for like 2 seconds, mm-hmm. and then they go back to the gym.
Yep.
I was like, why did you make that edit? That was a weird edit you guys just made. To just be in the gym. You could have handled all your business, all the gym business in one scene and then gone and started handling the church business because Big Show is your main character.
Mm-hmm.
He is your antagonist. Like, you maybe spend a little time setting him up a little bit more.
Protagonist, Jim.
Good point. Yep. Protagonist. I meant to say protagonist.
So Big Show and the Fat Kid are in the kitchen cooking. And then Big Show starts farting. He's like, I gotta go take a shit.
Yeah.
So he goes to the bathroom. Well, he leaves, and fucking Jan from the office is standing outside the bathroom. You hear lots of farts and shitting going on, and out walks the nun, which
and
was
you think, yeah.
so you think hilarious. It's a farting nun.
Yeah. It's a Return of the Farting Nuns from Ready to Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. They were all in the van.
Yeah.
It's like they're the farting nuns.
Which is so confusing because I'm like, a farting nun is a thing? We got to review that movie. That movie's awesome.
I get it. Oh, yeah. Ready to Rumble. I haven't watched that in so long.
Wrestling hates that movie, but I love that movie. I don't know why. Yeah, that movie's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty ridiculous. Like when they're fucking Macho Man is having a match with the. With fucking Dweezil Zappa in the fucking beginning of that movie.
He was a Zappa?
Yeah, Dweezil Zappa, yeah.
Okay.
He did a lot. He was on MTV a lot at that point. Did a lot of MTV stuff.
I love Gordy's trick to get a free slushie by sticking his finger up his ass and like, here.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that in another movie recently, but it was with beer.
Huh.
The exact same thing. I'm like, who's moving on Ready to Rumble? I have no idea what it was, but they did the exact same trick.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, farting nuns and get ready because there's going to be like there's going to be a callback to his gastro problems later on in the movie. So
the kitchen catches on fire. Big Show tries to put it out with grease.
Which somehow this kid doesn't fucking notice.
Yeah, how do you not notice that the room just got
hotter? There's like a giant fire. Yeah, it's like, boy, it sure is hot in here.
Yeah.
Hotter than it was before. What, maybe I should look up for my stupid game for a second. No, you know what? Fuck it. I'm almost done.
I think he just said fuck it because he wasn't getting adopted, so he's just going to go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, I don't fucking care. Just burn me alive. People don't want me. So, are you going to say anything, or what? Are you just, like, staring at shit?
I'm trying to get my notes together. Chill. I was letting you vamp.
I was, like, waiting for you to kind of join in on that, and you're just, like, blankly staring at my fucking screen.
Yeah, so the kitchen is gone. They have no insurance to pay for it because they didn't pay their insurance bill.
Yeah.
And so this guy's like, hey, we're going to shut your shit down and send all these kids to foster homes. And then little fat kid gives his Oliver Twist impression and gets an extension for like 2 weeks. Like, you guys got 10 days to get the money and get this kitchen fixed or I'm shutting this motherfucker down. and fucking fighter trainer dude named Eddie. So fighter trainer guy gets told by his dad to go pray. And so in movies, in order to pray, you actually have to go to church and talk really loudly to God.
And light a candle.
Did he light a candle?
You know what? He might as well have, because every single movie that has this fucking thing in it, somebody lights some kind of candle.
Mm-hmm. And he's like sitting in the middle, like instead of sitting like up front or in the back or whatever, he's like kind of in the middle.
He's like, doing like that. I think it's mostly like they're trying to, you know, he's being aloof with with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want
church is not in session. He just goes to church.
Yeah. Anybody can just go to church.
Well, I mean, you can, because church
can just walk into, anybody can just walk into a church regardless of whether there's people in it or not. So I think it was just, you know, he was being aloof with Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to think he was coming on too strong. You know, he's trying to play it cool. So he can get that prayer in and not like look like a complete douche.
Yeah. His idea of praying is like wishing upon a star that something bad will befall whatever the guy's name was, Tennessee Lee.
Yeah.
I just saw his name, Memphis Earl. So it's kind of Tennessee Lee spelled backwards.
That guy's name is Memphis Earl?
Yep.
I didn't know that. That's ridiculous. And then lo and behold, the Lord works in mysterious ways, because he just made Big Show have a comical pratfall out of a stained glass window.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he got it like, oh my God, you're so huge. You're my new fighter.
Yep.
That, like, that's pretty much it. Like, there was nothing more after that.
Yeah, so he's like, hey, I'll take him to New Orleans to make him fight people for money. Yeah. And
because it's a WWE movie, so we have to be in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's a law now.
I wish I would tell you where they're starting, because, like, they said they were going to St. Joe, right? It took a really awkward way from St. Joe to fucking New Orleans. They went all the way to Kentucky.
I don't remember them saying St. Joe. I do remember them. They did say Jefferson City.
That's what it was. Jeff City. My bad.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
So, they're both in Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the capital of Missouri.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, well, the church is named like St. Joseph or something. Who knows? St. God's Memorial Church.
Yeah. St. God. Our Lady of Perpetual God. I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
So they like immediately just goes.
Yeah.
Immediately just goes on the thing. Because we got to get this movie going. So.
So they get on a bus. They leave all the kids. Why didn't Big Show bring his little friend with him? Like,
I don't know.
Had that poor little fat kid sitting around sad as shit because his best friend's leaving.
Yeah, because Big Show's leaving. Big Show's his best friend. I don't know why he wouldn't bring him with him. Mm-hmm. I thought that was good. I guess because he thought, you know, it was going to get dangerous or whatever. Which it kind of did, I guess, but...
Yeah, so they bring Jan to drive the bus.
Yeah, to drive the short bus, by the way. They put Big Show on the short bus because comedy.
I didn't look at it like that. I don't know, most places have small buses because small buses are cheaper.
I looked at it more like... Like, they're really playing up the fact that he's huge, so let's put him on a tiny bus where he'll look even bigger. So
they go to a synagogue to fight Jews.
Yeah! What the fuck was with this?
this was about finding weird places to have street fights.
This was a little much in this movie.
This is a weird movie in terms of, like, their idea of fighting as a sport.
Of fighting cross-country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, there must be fights everywhere. What about a synagogue?
Yeah.
Jews are funny.
They're holding up giant stars of David.
All of them are.
Mm-hmm.
which is, again, odd.
Yeah.
Not only is it just odd that there's a goddamn... fight club in the back of a synagogue, but so now everybody's
changes into his fighting gear, which is his tidy whities and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And his bad wig.
Yeah, it's bad. Let's talk about this wig for a second. Why wouldn't he just be? Because, again, this is one of those things that's like they're really trying to drive home that he is an idiot. Like, he's a giant man child. So let's give him big, stupid man child hair.
Just out of the fucking Lloyd Christmas hair.
Yeah, yeah. It was just as stupid as they could possibly get it, just to make him look like way dumber, you know? Really driving up, then putting him on a short bus and, you know, making him not be able to maneuver in a small kitchen or whatever. Like, every time he moves, something fucking gets knocked over that's important, you know? Yep.
So this fight was pretty much every fight from the Homer They Fall episode of The Simpsons, except for the one with Henry Tatum.
Yeah.
So this guy's beating the shit out of Big Show until he just gets tired, and then Big Show falls on him, and that counts as a submission?
Well, he didn't just get tired. That guy got tired, but after he fucking, like, punched Big Show right in the nuts.
Oh, yeah, Big Show falls over, and he's...
And then Big Show falls out. Yeah. Which also made me, like... I couldn't figure out, like, because guy didn't even really tap. It was almost like he pinned him, which made me think, like, what the fuck are they supposed to be? Are they supposed to be
wrestling? That's what I'm talking about.
MMA guys. I didn't see him tap.
I saw him tap.
But it just seemed like it was the MMA it was like the wrestling version of MMA.
It was like Russell Madness all over again.
Russell Madness.
WrestleMania.
I would actually had loved if Big Show had a wrestling dog with him this entire movie.
There was a bear, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, there was a bear.
They crashed a bus, which explodes.
For no reason, mind you. Because Jan's like, oh, the engine is smoking. It wasn't smoking that much. And when your engine is smoking, you kind of know to stop and pull over. You don't fucking have a big comedy crash through a goddamn cornfield and then hit a pole. This was dumb. This was so stupid and pointless. It was just a way to get the bus to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Which there were so many other ways. They could have done it so many other ways instead of just like a minimum amount of smoke getting blown into somebody's face. And like,
because them having a fucking feasible mode of transportation throughout this movie to get to from town to town. Not entertaining enough. Let's have them have to hitchhike.
Yeah.
So she shows a little leg, fucking twerks it a little bit, and gets a bus to pull over. Or a fucking truck pulling pigs and Mexicans.
Yeah. Pigs and Mexicans.
Yeah.
Who she also sets up fight promoter guy to get beat up by one of these Mexicans. Because he tries to hug him. After she says that he reminds him of his nephew or whatever the fuck. And while Big Show's up in the cab with this guy who's like pounding fucking energy drinks, and that was a real awkward scene because it seemed like he was trying to hit on Big Show. Because he was all like, you know, it gets awful lonely out here on the road. You know, and then just kind of like trails off and is like still like looking at him out of the side of his eyes. It was very disturbing.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm just like, dude, I'm pretty sure Big Show would split you up the middle, so.
Oh, shit.
But
they get the fuck out of this fucking truck. For some reason, there was really no reason for them to leave the truck, but they do. And they're in the park, and they're like, hey, I know somebody that lives here. Go ahead.
Yeah. That was almost like in the middle of suburbia when he fucking opens up a truck full of pigs and Mexicans and then starts shooting a double barrel shotgun to get everybody to run away in the middle of the goddamn street.
So he was trying to get them back into the fucking the truck.
I thought it sounded like he was trying to get them to run away.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought he was.
There's a YouTube clip of this guy. I think his name is like the Amazing Racist. And he picks up these Mexicans at Home Depot, right? And they get in the back of his truck. Like, I need you to help me build a deck. And so he's driving around with them, and he takes them right to INS and starts honking a horn like, Lemigre, I got some. And they all get out of the truck and start running.
Whoa.
It's so fucking funny.
That's fucking craziness. The Amazing Races?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fucked.
So fucking funny, dude.
That is fucked.
Can we get in the front? Like, no, you gotta get in the back. I don't want you in the front of the car.
No.
It was so fucking funny. Anyway, so they go to this fucking stripper's house who has a pole in her house. And I guess sleazy fire promoter guy in deep with a mob cannot recognize a stripper pole.
Nope.
Maybe I'm crazy.
I think he was making the joke that pole was a load bearing pole.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was trying to fuck with Jan because Jan was all like leaning up against it and everything, had her hands on it, and then she kind of like made her realize, oh god, that's not load bearing pole. Oh no, that's for strippers. But then you find out later that she used to be a stripper, so
like we used to dance together. Uh-huh. Yeah, but she's like, I'll get Big Show a makeover. So she makes him over to look like the Big Show.
Yep.
She by giving him tattoos that he has. Big Show has the most off of the tattoo parlor wall tattoos ever.
Oh, yeah.
He has random dragon and random tiger and leaves.
That tiger tattoo is fucking stupid. That is the worst tattoo I think I've ever seen on a human being.
Like, Big Show, why? Like, what did that mean for you?
You could have gotten so many other things. You put bears on everything. Could have been a bear.
The bear thing is recent. I remember when he got that tattoo in like 99, 2000.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no, I remember, what the
fuck? You really need a fucking tiger on your fucking arm?
Yeah, it looks bad. It looks really bad. So, but it also made me think, like, in this movie, are those tattoos supposed to be rub-on tattoos?
She did have a paintbrush in her hand when he came out.
So she just painted this stuff on his arm.
Apparently.
With permanent paint that doesn't run when you sweat.
I guess.
Okay. Okay, sure.
So she's a carny. She works at a carnival making funnel cakes, a.k.a. Delicious.
Yeah.
She's like, come work at the carnival. And he's like, oh, no, we're not going to go do some carny bullshit. We're like, well, you can do some fighting because you can fight Bare Knuckle Dave, I think his name was, Bare Knuckle Dave.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And so he's like, oh, we can do that. How much is the prize? Like, oh, $500. Like, awesome. And so they go to the carnival, which is filmed at Audubon Zoo, because I can tell, because I can see the fucking carousel and the taffy thing. So, yeah, that's the zoo. And so they go to find Bare Knuckle Dave, and out comes a bear in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
An actual bear at some points, and other times, giant teddy bear.
A guy in a costume.
Yeah.
Again, Three Stooges.
That happened
to Three Stooges? They did that shit all the time, man, where they're like, if they were supposed to be getting attacked by a gorilla or a bear or something like that, it was always a guy in a suit.
Well, yeah, they can get real bears.
Yeah, it was so funny that always the gorilla was always a guy in a suit.
I need you, Nigger Jim, to look up the episode of Saturday Morning Slam where Daniel Bryan was on commentary. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the show Saturday Morning Slam, but
I didn't watch it.
It was awesome. For one, Daniel Bryan was a completely different character on Saturday Morning Slam. Mm-hmm. He was the Dazzler.
That's why,
he would slick his hair back and put a little Superman curly cue. So he was a Dazzler. And on commentary, he would always talk about bears. How you're not a real champion until you can wrestle a bear. And they're like, hey, and Josh Matt was like, which wrestlers have wrestled bears? It's like, Stu Hart wrestled a bear. Gene LaBelle wrestled a bear. Arn Anderson wrestled a bear, which is funny because Arn Anderson looks like a gay bear porn star. And which I think is a joke. And he says, if it doesn't work on a bear, don't do it in the ring. And then Cesaro puts R-Truth in a bear hug. He's like, this is it! Oh my god! It's the bear hug! This match is over!
Oh, wow. That is pretty funny. Oh, that's great.
Anybody who says Daniel Bryan's fucking vanilla is retarded.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
That's hilarious. I love the Dazzler. Bring back the Dazzler, Daniel Bryan. Just be on.
They could. I mean,
talk about Bears.
He could. Like, he's not doing anything right now. He could at least be on TV.
He's like all kind of bears: brown bears, black bear, polar bear, panda bear, grizzly bear, which is a version of a brown bear.
Black bear.
He said black bear, but it's funny.
Did he say black bear?
Yeah, he might have said koala bear also, but
koala bear.
Big Show wrestles a bear and chokes the shit out of the bear. Big Show wrestles a bear,
chokes him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real bear like crawls across the mat after it's been choked out.
He gets licked by the bear at some point.
Yeah, the bear licks him. And you know, like, when it's not real, because you know for sure, like, I don't care how trained the fucking bear is, like, bear claws, they're going to fucking seep through your skin like butter. Like, the second it fucking, it's like almost like the second a fucking bear paw comes right down on you, it seems like there'd be nothing but gashes.
And I heard Stu Hart wrestled a tiger.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty badass, right? And a snake.
Yeah. And a snake.
Yeah.
Wow. Stu Hart was the man.
I've seen pictures of Mae Young wrestling a bear.
Wow.
And did the same chokehold that Big Show did on the wrestling bear. But now PETA exists, so you can't have wrestling bears anymore.
Yeah, I ain't trying to wrestle with bears.
I would love to see the wrestling bear come to town. I would be front row for that shit.
I would love to see wrestling bear come to town. I would love to see anybody else do it. Just not me. I would not wrestle a bear.
Can't be a real champion until you wrestle a bear, Jim.
I don't care. I don't. If that's what it means, then that's fine. I'll just not be a world champion because I'm not trying to wrestle bears.
Fuck so, that. They're on a Greyhound bus now. Big Show gets the BGs.
Oh, boy.
A.K.A. the Bubble Guts. And yeah. So he has to go take as Dusty Rhodes would say, a country shit.
And he's like farting up and down the aisle and people are like, oh, my God. And then he can't fit in the bathroom.
Yep, so he drops trowel and just says, fuck it, and projectile shits into this toilet with the door wide open. And everybody starts dying, and then they evacuate the bus, and the fire team pulls him out of the door.
Yeah, this...
And the bus leaves him, like a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, this... Okay, this...
It's not his fault your bathrooms aren't giant-friendly.
I don't know if this scene was meant to be funny, because it just made me feel bad. That's all it did.
I was like, poor Big Show, dude. Like, everybody was like, judging him because he had to take a shit.
Yeah.
He can't fit in the bathroom to take a shit.
Yeah. He can't.
And then the bus left him.
Yeah. And the fire department and the cops left them. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That just doesn't fucking happen. The cops would have at least fucking given him a ride somewhere or called somebody for him or something. We'll just leave people stranded out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Unless we're doing comedy. So, that was dumb.
So they beat up a bunch of bikers and steal their bikes with a sidecar because those still exist?
Because Big Show needed to look more ridiculous by riding in a sidecar.
They go camping and they run into some frat boys that recognize him from the internet. I missed the part where we beat up dude's dad. I skipped that.
Oh, that one—that was kind of funny because it was
the little black kid from Kansas City.
Yeah. Is that kid from Kansas City?
Mm-hmm. I think I knew people that were related to him, or my sister knew.
No way. I had no, I didn't know that. I just know I hadn't seen him in a long time in anything.
It was funny because he was super tiny, and which makes me think this movie was filmed like 2008.
Yeah, and I remember at the time, like, I really wanted him to play Riley. If they ever did a Boondocks movie, he would have been awesome as Riley.
In that Ruckus movie?
Yeah, if they did the Ruckus movie or if they had made a straight Boondocks movie, he would have been so good. Because everybody that's casted for that movie could play themselves in live action, except for the kids.
Right.
He would have been a lock to play Riley at that point. It's too bad he's not still a little kid and they could still do that, because he would have been so good.
Mm-hmm. He's funny in, what's that movie called, Role Models with McLovin?
Yeah, Role Models, he's really funny in that. Like, he was just really funny, like, across the board, like, everything he did was really funny.
So they go to the frat house and they get paid to beat up people. The frat house. He starts getting better at fighting and doing submissions and shit. So they finally make it to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They go to a nice hotel. They get some Rain Man suits.
Yeah, they get Rain Man suits to go out to a fucking honky-tonk country-ass bar.
Mm-hmm. Bitch gets a nice dress. Where nobody else is
wearing suits. Like, they look, like, pretty fucking elegant and shit. Mm-hmm. And then Jan comes in wearing that red dress. Everybody's, like, dressed. Those three people are dressed to the nines. Everybody else around them is just, like, dressed like normal people at a normal bar. I was like, why are you overdressing for this bar? This is weird.
Their waitress is named Jiggles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's talking to her. I like the sequence of Jan getting progressively drunker and you're not seeing her drink any alcohol, but the alcohol is slowly disappearing.
Yeah.
This movie had weird censorship. Like, she never said stripper. There was no cursing. You don't see her drinking, but you see the liquor going away.
Yeah. You do see her take a drink of it.
Yeah.
You do see her take a physical drink of it, but then they do, like, a little, like, fast-forward montage where just the whole giant margarita just slowly disappears.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it looked cool.
So she sees Jiggles, who's black, talking to Eddie, and I guess she likes him now, so she goes and she commits a carnal sin by pulling a black woman's hair.
Yep.
And bitch is like, hell no. And then she, like, takes off her clothes. And
apparently this is a
pool of mud.
Apparently it's a thing in this bar. Whenever somebody challenges somebody else, a woman, like, gets in a fight with another woman, that they sound an alarm and then make them fucking wrestle in mud.
Yeah.
Whoever it is. I was like, that's kind of reaching.
That's awesome. A bit odd. And so,
I wish it would happen, but it doesn't.
Jan strips off the dress, does one spin kick, and knocks Jiggles out.
Yeah.
Right into the mud. So we don't get an awesome mud wrestling match.
Spinning heel kick, he called it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's just a roundhouse. In my book, spinning heel kicks are like in the air. They're like Tyler Breeze's move.
Well, it was a spinning heel kick, but not a roundhouse, because a roundhouse is forward and a spinning heel kick is backward.
It was a reverse roundhouse. Okay. And she went around and kicked her in the face. She did, like, complete turn. I wouldn't say spinning heel kick.
Well, that's what it was.
What's that?
Just like you wouldn't say a tomato's a fruit?
Talking shit? Yeah. I won't say tomato's a fruit. Tomato can go fuck itself. There ain't nothing fruit about tomatoes.
Except the fact that it grows on a plant and it has seeds.
Science can suck a dick because fucking fruit is delicious and sweet. Tomatoes are fucking bullshit. That's my fucking ground. I stand my ground on fucking tomatoes. That's not fruit. Bananas and apples and oranges, that's fucking fruit. Tomatoes are a fucking abomination of God and the world. Tomatoes are terrible. And if they could ever make a tomato that tasted like fucking spaghetti sauce or fucking ketchup, then I'm in. But they're never going to. If I've been into a tomato and it tasted like straight up ketchup, I'd be down. Let's go for it.
So we have this tournament, and it's filmed in the exact same warehouse as the climax of The Chaperone, where the kids set off fireworks. The exact same warehouse. So this is the 30th annual MMA beat down on the Bayou. 30th annual. This tournament is as old as Jim. So I don't think MMA existed until like 1993 for the record. But in fucking New Orleans, 30 years. So they beat up a bunch of geeks. I like the two fat kids that fought each other to a no contest. That was kind of awesome.
Yeah. There's just weird characters. That's what made me think, like, are they supposed to be doing MMA or is this wrestling? Because they're fighting in a three-roped ring, and everybody seems to have a character.
Well, they've had MMA in rings like Pride and K-1.
I've never seen it because I always just figured that like there's kickboxing, but then there's MMA.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I've always seen it.
Oh, pancreas and a lot of the Japanese ones.
I've seen MMA inside of like the octagon cage thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know of Pride and all that other stuff, but mm-hmm. I just thought they were like just like kickboxing. Like there was no holds or anything like that. So.
No, because Alberto Del Rio did Pride in Japan. Okay. What did he do? Yeah, I think he did Pride in Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No.
And got his face kicked by Miracle Crow Cop in like 2 seconds and knocked the fuck out.
Oh dear, that sucks.
Alright, so a lot of quick fights, and then Jan goes to the bathroom and she comes out of taking a country shit, cause everybody takes shits in this movie. Nobody pees in this movie.
Yeah, it's just all shits.
All shits.
All shits all the time because comedy.
Yep. So she's done wiping her little chocolate starfish. She comes out of the bathroom and who's standing in the ladies' bathroom but Memphis Earl.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, what's up? It's like, hey, isn't this the ladies' bathroom? Like, he points at a tampon machine to prove that it is. Like, that had to be in there.
Yeah. We don't have that in our bathroom. No. This is the bronze room. See all the tampons on the wall?
Now, just tell me if you know this, because I don't. Are the tampons free in the ladies' bathroom, or do they cost money like the rubbers in the men's bathroom?
I don't know. I would assume they're free.
Okay.
That maybe you just have to, like, turn the thing, and they just come out. Outside of that, I really don't know. Because I've never had a vagina, so I have no idea.
I'm just guessing because you worked in places, so maybe you could probably went and clean the woman's bathroom from time to time. I'm just curious. You're a world traveler, Jim. I'm sure you've been some places, and you got long hair. You could probably wear one of those fucking Iranian veils and shit and pretend that you're a lady.
A ninja mask?
Yeah, and be like, hey, I'm just going to go take a lady pee and then go take a shit in a really nice bathroom.
I'm not fucking Gene Parmesan from fucking Arrested Development over here. Like, I'm just... I never had to clean any bathrooms. It just never has come up. Like, because when I worked at McDonald's, they would have, like, you know, a male clean the male bathroom and a woman clean the woman's bathroom. Mm-hmm. So I never went in there. When I worked at Menske's, I was a delivery driver, so I didn't have to clean shit except for doing the dishes at the end of the night, and that was all. And everywhere else, I just never had to clean the women's bathroom or go in the women's bathroom at all, ever.
One time, like I think it was at Dillard's JCPenney, my sister went to the women's bathroom, and they had like carpet and couches because I could see when the door opened. And they had soap that smelled like peaches.
See, I kind of knew that stuff just from there was a whole episode of The Office where like the guys found out that the women's bathroom had all these couches and shit, and then they started going in there to hang out to get away from the boss and shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I wish we had couches in our bathroom. Actually, I don't even know. I don't. Never mind. I don't wish we had couches in the bathroom.
That'd be fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I don't want to fucking hang out in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't even understand why there's one in the women's bathroom.
Because women don't have buttholes, Jim. Mm. Their buttholes are for insertion and not for, like, shooting poops.
You have that hole for one reason and one reason only, honey. That's so terrible.
So you can give her the old little Jack Horner while you're hitting it from the back.
I hope Leva Bates never listens to any of the other episodes we've ever done ever. Oh Jesus, we are terrible people.
Alright, so
thinking about that,
the tournament starts getting hot and it's down to Big Show and Red Rum. So Tennessee Earl shows up with a picture of Big Show's little fat friend hanging over either the Mississippi River or Lake Pontchartrain or the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know what it is, but one of the main Louisiana bodies of water. And it's like, hey, Big Chill takes a dive, or Little Fat Kid takes a dive.
Fat Orphan takes a dive.
Oh, and didn't he try to adopt them at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, we totally skipped. I was just about to say that. We skipped over that. He's wearing a giant wooden cross around his neck, and he has some hooker that he fucking picked up, but they never say she's a hooker, but clearly she's a hooker, to fucking play his wife. And then they also have fucking Red Rum with them. Just a giant black man to go fucking adopt a little kid with. He's like, oh, this is my associate.
You could just go to the orphanage and just pick up a kid and then leave. That's how adoption works.
Yeah. And then that Red Rum guy put hands on that little kid. It was like holding them there. And fucking Lena Horne came by and like fucking threw his hands off him and shit. I'm like, what are you going to do? Just steal a child? That's gross, dude. Come on.
Goddamn pedo ass. So,
yeah, real pedo ass.
So Big Show and Red Rum have their fight. And Big Show wins with the fucking Hell's Gate submission.
Yeah. That was Hell's Gate, yeah.
All the nuns are looking for Tennessee Lee. And if you've seen Starrcade 1999... or 1998, you know how this ends. This motherfucker gets cattle prodded by Nina Van Horn, who has a cattle prod in her cane. And he's like, don't tase me, bro.
She's a secret agent nun or something.
Which makes me believe this was filmed in 2008 as well, because he said, don't tase me, bro.
Yeah.
He gets tased twice by the police and by the nuns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
he can't feel his face and does a whole, I can't feel my tongue. I can't feel my tongue.
Yeah, so they
he gets arrested for kidnapping.
They're mad at Eddie because they think he took the money. It was supposed to go to the orphans, but he gave it to his dad to give to the orphanage if anything happened to him. But his dad's a compulsive gambler, and he gambled the money. And he's like, oh, good thing I bet on an underdog, because Big Show had 20-1 odds, so I won $80,000. And a lot of money gives him exact same size.
He gives him money on top of the money they just won, and then that guy and then his trainer gives all the money to that orphanage.
Yep.
And then makes out with Jim.
Little something shit. I would have kept the gambled away money. Like, you guys can have the gain. I'll keep the
eight. Yeah.
But Big Show,
he could write it off on his taxes.
Yeah, Big Show adopts the little fat kid, and they all live happily ever after.
Yep. And he gets with
And you know he's doing better in life because he has a sweater vest now.
Yeah, he has a sweater vest now. That universally means, hey, you're doing all right, man. As far as white people go. I don't know.
And that is the chaperone. Or
knucklehead. That is, might as well have been the chaperone, a.k.a. knucklehead.
What did you think of this movie? It was okay.
I liked it. Yeah. I really did.
If I had kids and I needed to distract them while I went and had sex with whoever I was having sex with, I'll put that on and let them enjoy it.
Yeah. Good movie to zone out to. I would check it out. I would definitely check it out for anybody listening. It was a lot better than all the other movies we've reviewed. I put this above Chaperone.
Yeah, I like this more than Chaperone. Chaperone was really dumb.
Yeah.
This had dumb moments, but it was really harmless.
Yeah.
So, suck at Triple H.
Yeah, except for, like, the Jewish Fight Club, which was weird, and
all the shit jokes.
There was, like, two like, racist fucking parts, and I was like, there was that one, and then when Tennessee Lee and Red Rum break into their hotel room and fucking shake down his fight coach.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like a big bucket of KFC sitting on the thing, and fucking Red Rum just like grabs it on the way out the door. Just takes this man's chicken.
All right, so we got choices for our next movie. It could be Legendary or Inside Out.
Okay, who's in Legendary?
John Cena.
Are these both on Netflix?
These are both on Netflix.
Okay, Legendary or
Legendary is sped up with bullies. Bookish Cal joins his high school wrestling team with hopes that his estranged older brother would help him and rejoin the family. I'm guessing John Cena's an estranged older brother.
Yeah. And what's Inside Out?
Inside Out is Triple H and Michael Rapaport. And I like Michael Rapaport.
Oh, boy.
A parolee who's determined... fucking Triple H out on parole again. A parolee who's determined to stay on the right side of the law sees his plans derail when his best friend involves him in an accidental shooting. It sounds like The Chaperone again.
It does sound like The Chaperone again. Except without a kid.
Yeah.
Good God. Let's do...
We can watch Pain and Gain starring The Rock. You want to see what Rock movies are on Netflix?
Oh, yeah. I know Pain and Gain is on there. And Brian's told me that that's a really good movie.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it a couple times.
I think that's the only Rock movie that's on Netflix, isn't it?
There's G.I. Joe Retaliation, which I've tried to watch at least 5 times and fallen asleep right up.
I watched it. It's a lot better than Rise of Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
Than the first movie. I would watch that movie again.
They kill all the G.I. Joes in the first 3 seconds.
Yeah, Duke dies and fucking, like, Channing Tatum. Yeah, he's dead and fucking... In the first reel of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And he's Rock as Roadblock.
Did they kill Scarlet or Lady J?
Maybe they killed Scarlet. I can't think of who Adrian Palicki was playing.
Mm.
I think she might have been Lady J. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
But Snake Eyes is also there and fucking there are a couple people in their team.
Steve Austin movies on Netflix.
Oh yeah. Yes, there are many Steve Austin movies on Netflix.
So we're gonna do Maximum Conviction in 2 weeks. Starring Steve Austin and Steven Seagal.
Oh, is that what that movie's called? I thought it was like Maximum Force.
Yeah, because I don't want to watch Legendary. John Cena sucks.
Yeah.
If they had 12 rounds, I'd watch 12 rounds.
Yes.
You know what? Let me try to see something really quick.
What was that movie called?
Maximum Conviction.
Maximum Conviction. I always like to write it down.
Let me see if I can turn this sound down so it doesn't come through the speaker mixer.
Shit, I may actually watch this movie when we're done. Really? So I've actually been like wanting to watch this. I just haven't got around to it yet. And then there's another one on there. There's 2 at least that I watched one night. One where he's he's coaching this kid. He's a janitor at high school, and he's coaching a kid how to box. And it's pretty sappy and pretty funny. Like, I enjoyed watching that one. And then there's one with Austin and Michael Jai White where they're like a SWAT team. It's those two and then a couple other people. They're like a SWAT team, and they're like best of the best. And they go to like an empty warehouse that they rent out so that they can run like teamwork drills and shit. But they go in there and find out that there's like a fucking mob deal going down in there. And they get caught. They get fucking trapped in this building with these fucking mobsters trying to kill them. It was pretty funny.
Okay. Damn. Stone Cold just does movies just to do movies. It's like, these aren't real movies.
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to see these, like, Stone Cold?
Every movie he makes is like an 80s action movie. I'm excited to watch this
match. None of these 12 rounds look like they're really 12 rounds, except the one that says I have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't paying for 12 rounds, even if it is only
$2.99.
So what I can probably do, I'll give you the Google Drive password for the Rock Wrestling Podcast email, and I'll download 12 rounds and put it in our thing, and eventually we'll put it in the Google Drive, and eventually we'll get to it.
Okay.
That one seems the most interesting of all the John Cena movies, because it's like a diehard movie where you have to go through 12 obstacles to get to his target. So that's how we're probably going to do shit for now. What were you going to say? You got what?
I've got Google Drive, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Because we had it for, downloaded for band stuff.
Okay.
We put lyrics and stuff up there. So, but yeah, anyway, that wasn't interesting. I was just saying. Yeah. So, you want to get out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's get into some plugs.
And upcoming events.
So tomorrow night, or tonight, if you're listening, so Wednesday, Empty Bottle, come see me. Come watch Derek and his band, Big Dave, everybody playing some awesome songs. Glitter Creeps Showcase at the Empty Bottle, I think about 8 o'clock, something like that. That's going to be fun. Karaoke night, as always, every Wednesday. I probably won't be there, but go to karaoke and sing some songs. Jim, sing Goodbye, Earl.
I will go there. I will drive all the way to Chicago and
just
do that.
Just a single. What else? Twitter?
Twitter at Rock Wrestling PC.
Yeah. At Sweet Gem Reaper.
At Ninja Tyler Black.
Yep. RockWrestlingPodcast.podomatic.com. That's our website.
For all your podcast needs.
All your podcast needs. There's awesome interviews with Leva Bates.
Yeah.
And Leva Bates. Yeah, and Blue Pants. We got an interview with Blue Pants also, yeah. So, RockWrestlingPodcast.podomatic.com. Go to some of our old shows. Listen to us talk about boring wrestling every week, Wednesdays. Yep. And hopefully we'll start talking about Flash again in a few months, so that should be fun.
Yeah, and we'll Flash and Arrow and Legends of the Superheroes.
So. Yeah.
Or Legends of Tomorrow.
When that's supposed to start?
Well, actually, you know what? I don't think it's actually going to start till next year.
Don't.
Until 2016. I think it's coming in mid-season.
Don't tell me some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
This should be mid-season. Let's see. Oh, gay.
Talking TV season. Like, of new TV, fall TV.
Yeah. There's no shows in the summer. It should be summer shows.
They never put out anything good in the summer.
Yeah.
That's when they're just, like, kind of throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks and what doesn't, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Also, rockwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com is our very public email. So send us requests. Send us hate mail. Send us fan mail. Send us naked pictures of people that play baseball and fuck famous people.
Mostly, fan mail and naked pictures are welcome.
Yeah.
So,
We like the nudes.
Mostly that. I don't want to hear about how much people hate me.
I give you enough of that, Jim.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it. That sucks.
What else do we usually plug? Subscribe to the show on Twitter. No, on Stitcher. Not Twitter.
Yeah,
Subscribe on Stitcher. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Pod Directory.
Yeah, Pod Directory, our new home.
Podcast Addict is my favorite fucking podcast app because I can get Steve Austin and Rock Wrestling on there. The two best, most popular
podcasts. The two best damn shows on the internet right now. Oh, hell yeah.
Award winning podcast right here.
Award winning podcast.
Yep.
So,
Global Icon, National Treasure.
Follow at Mime and Fish Bomb.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Our number one listener, the only person that will listen to this show is Mime and Fish Bomb. So thank you, Brian, for listening every week. Shout out to Mary. Shout out to Bezel. Shout out to Doug and his wife.
Shout out to I've ever met. Shout out to Little Bougie.
Shout out to my nigga Jesse Jones. Get well soon.
Yep. Get well soon, because I guess you're sick. I don't think he is, but get well soon, little kid.
He's just really skinny. That's all it
is. Keep fighting the good fight, bud.
Keep slapping that bass.
Keep slapping that bass. So.
And shout out to Josh.
Shout out to Josh. Shout out to Jerry Bones.
Creepy Curtis.
Shout out to Creepy Curtis. Shout out to... Rex Casual, also known as Jeff Woldridge. Shout out to him. Just Shout out to everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Even if you're not.
Nigger Jim, I'm Tyler Black. This has been another exciting edition of the Rock
and Wrestling
Podcast. God damn it, motherfucker.
Oh, son of a bitch.
R.I.P. Dusty.
Where's my damn pair? R.I.P. Dusty. Is it you that equals you? I feel bulimia. I'm proud. Alleluia. I fell. Salt in the bag of a snare.
And this is tribute to my drug, like ripping or failing. No way to fit, to fit, to fit in, and to fit in. Hey, 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 hey. Is it true that equals you?
Thank you.